Good afternoon and welcome to Saturday with Katie Hannan. Now, because of that devastating tragedy in Donegal, we won't be doing our usual programme today. Instead, we'll be bringing you updates from the scene of the blast in Chrysla and talking to locals from a community that is today coming to terms with unimaginable loss, as well as some of those involved in the rescue and recovery effort. And just to warn you, some listeners may find some of the accounts from the scene upsetting, just to be aware of that as we go into this programme. We'll go over live now, though, to the scene in the village of Chrysloch, where Chris McNulty, reporter with the Donegal Democrat, is standing by for us. Have we got you there, Chris?
Yeah, you have indeed, Katie.
Chris, what's happening there right now?
Well, at the moment, this search and rescue operation still ongoing and has been since just after 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon at Lafferty's filling station here in Chrysla. The RD have earlier this morning confirmed that 9 people have lost their lives and many more injured, and still some people who are unaccounted for as the operation continues.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, isn't it? That there's still people unaccounted for. So is there fears there today that death toll may rise?
Yeah, there is indeed, Katie. The emergency services had suggested this morning that what was a rescue operation has now become a recovery operation. So that language in itself would suggest that further fatalities are indeed possible.
And are there many of the local community around the scene now? You know, what are people doing there?
Yeah, I suppose people are just coming to really do what they can. They're coming to sort of be here for each other. There's, you know, no one's really saying too much. Like, everyone's sort of standing in stone silence, really. And some people coming this morning just offer prayers at the Garda Cordon at the tape, which is just down the road from the filling station. And there was a mass offered by the local priest this morning, Father John Joe Duffy, and the church was packed overflowing. You know, just I suppose people coming together to support each other and to really, I suppose, pray and hope for some semblance of good news and amidst all the tragedy.
Yeah, and I believe that was that Father John Joe Duffy delivered a very powerful sermon.
Yeah, he did. It was very, very moving, actually, but also very powerful. You know, he spoke about the sense of community, and I mean, it's so evident today, and has been since yesterday, how close knit this community, and you know, I suppose how much the community and the people in it mean to each other. And I suppose Father John Joe touched on it this morning. You know, people are going to be there for each other. And, you know, even Liam McElhenney, the chairman of the local GA club, St. Michael, spoke about how there were a lot of sellers from the club at the shop, just, you know, in the moments beforehand. They had just sort of given up their station just before the blast. Liam himself had just left the shop at 2:30, you know. And I suppose it's one of those complexes in rural villages. You know, it was everything, really. You know, it's the only shop in the village. It's the post office. There's an apartment complex, you know. And like, the village itself is sort of the gateway to northwest Donegal, to, you know, towns and places like Dunfanaghy, Fulcara, Gweedore. Like, it's such a busy, bustling town. And, you know, really, at 3 o'clock on a Friday, you can imagine how busy the complex would have been.
Yeah, because Chrysla itself is quite a small place, but as you say, this would have been a stop-off point for a lot of people, you know, going to that side to West Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the, you know, the N56, which is the main road from Letterkenny, and goes out through Chrysla, Dunfanaghy, onto Fulcara and Gweedore. Like, it runs through the village of Chrysla. You know, the local school had just finished at 3 o'clock. The closing itself happened at 3:20. So, and also, I suppose, a lot of commuters, like people coming from schools nearby in other towns, and people coming from third level institutes in Donegal and beyond, making their way home for the weekend. There's a lot of holiday homes in this area in Donegal, and again, scores of people who would have been either going to or coming from those, you know, from those buildings. So yeah, look, Chrysla in itself is a small rural village, but very, very much a busy, thriving one.
And I appreciate that, you know, obviously names haven't been officially released of the fatalities there and those that are injured, but because of the kind of community it is, the names are circulating widely of the people who have been caught up in this. And it does seem to be mainly people from the, you know, very closely around Chrysla itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like outside the church this morning, we spoke to Liam McAnany, the GA club chairman, and spoke about how the people affected and the people involved were, long time, generations of their families having been involved with the GA club. And again, like a community like this, everyone knows everyone. It is a really, really tight knit community. And from the people working in the shop to the people who were in it, they would be all widely known in the area.
And are you hearing anything about the injured that were taken? Are they all in Letterkenny Hospital, as far as we know?
No, there were at least one person was transferred to a hospital in Dublin, was airlifted, and the Air Coast Guard 118 helicopter was utilised in the operation yesterday afternoon, and at least one person was taken to a hospital in Dublin. But Letterkenny University Hospital enacted an emergency protocol to deal with the other casualties.
Okay. Chris McNulty, many thanks for that update there. No doubt you'll be keeping us up to date with that as the days go by. That story, devastating, Chrisla, obviously. And I want to go now to speak to a man from that community, from Bernard Doherty. Bernard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Bernard, you're just a couple of miles away from this, where this occurred, yeah?
Yeah, we're just a couple of miles, maybe an hour or three from the village. But quarter past or 20 past three yesterday, water started to filter through. We were working home yesterday. My wife came down to the office and said, something's happened in Crease, we should go and see if you can help. So, headed down, didn't know what to expect, and just got there to see utter devastation.
And, what did you see when you got there? Was it clear immediately that you were dealing with a blast, an explosion?
Yeah, it was quite clear. The rubble had been blown across the forecourt and out as far as the road. The front section of the shop and up through a couple of floors of apartments above had been blown out. The building looked pretty unstable. There was rubble everywhere, and there was everything from, tin. There was blocks, floor slabs, contents from the shop. All that kind of stuff was just lying all around the place.
And was there, people who were not caught in the epicentre of this that were able to kind of walk away from it?
There was some, yeah, some nearby. Some had been just leaving the shop. Some had just arrived at the shop who, luckily enough, had either just left the shop or hadn't gone in yet, who were able to walk away. I believe some, walking wounded had left as well, just in ambulances to get looked about in the hospital. It was hard to know where to start.
What did you do, actually? Because I know there was concerns about how unstable everything was at that stage.
There was. There was volunteers there before me, and volunteers came after me. Look, we just tried to clear rubble, see was there anybody shouting for help, see was there anybody, looking for help or trying to get out.
Could you actually hear people at that stage?
Yeah, there was a lot of noise that happened at that time. It was all different kinds of shouting, people shouting and trying to, I suppose, figure out what was there. And we're trying to even figure out, being a small town, you'd kind of recognise the cars in the forecourt. So trying to figure out what cars were there or, how many roughly would be there. Or, I suppose, trying to piece it together and see, were you going to know people in there? Or, it's a local shop, it's the epicentre of the town. Sits in the N56, which is it gets a severe amount of passing traffic. There's days there during summertime, during peak holiday season, where you could have queued out the door from that shop. You could have 20, 30, 40 people in the shop. So we're just trying to, see what we're dealing with.
And, at that stage, you didn't have machinery, I assume, right, in the immediate aftermath. Were you actually people using their hands to try and move debris?
Yeah, there was two or three locations around the building, both front and back, where we had set up chain gangs, just, 8 or 10 or 12 men, just from the very epicentre of where it happened, all the way to the back, just passing out rubble and blocks and just getting it out to try and clear away. And,
I'm just really struck by how you were able to organise yourselves in the middle of, there must have been some sense of just the shock and the panic around this, but you seem to have been able to sort of organise yourselves into, as you say, these kind of chain gangs to work together very quickly.
Well, you know, something, if you were asked to sit down and drop a plan as to how to go about it, you wouldn't know where to start. But it's just when you land there, both adrenaline and, I suppose, instinct kick in, and you suppose you kind of go into survival mode to try and get out. You can get out and try and, I suppose, comprehend what's going on and assess the situation. There was danger from the floors above, a lot of blockwork on floor slabs and sections of roof were unsteady, and you know, when the emergency service had landed, they got acroprops to prop it up to somewhat secure it. There was no target from there on of local lorries and, you know, tractors and trailers, telehelpers.
Was it locals that went and brought their own tractors and trailers to help out as well?
Yeah, it was all local stuff. The local builder working in the school down the road, he came up with a teleporter. The local quarry, Muckers, and the gravel sent up lorries. Locals were showing up as diggers, small telehandlers, and just local guys came up with tractors and trailers to clear the rubble. I suppose a community effort to try and clear away. And, you know, I suppose the emergency service would have been somewhat hampered too if they couldn't get in. So, between the locals, I suppose, being the first on the scene, and the emergency services following shortly after it, that plan kind of fell into place fairly soon. Those kind of teams towards the back of the unit and teams towards the front, and they all had their own plans in place, I suppose, you know, to try and get in.
And of course, we know that you know, we've got confirmation now that there's been nine bodies removed from the rubble. Were you able to pull people out who did survive it?
Yeah, there was one girl taken in the back who survived us. Yeah. And so obviously that some of the people who had survived it, who were in the close vicinity, had walked away or been carried away before I got there. But shortly after I landed, one girl was taken out the back door, yeah.
But as you were working on this, and I know you were there for hours and hours yesterday, Bernard, I assume it was clear to you that you were going to make some grim discoveries.
Well, I found that out just about 20 seconds after landing on the scene, so I knew what was ahead, all right, yeah.
And as you say, you were looking at the cars in the forecourt, you were, you know, figuring out who might be in there.
Yeah.
I assume you knew a lot of the victims here.
I knew most of them, I think all but one so far, yeah.
Oh, I just condolences from everyone on the team here as I'm talking to you, Bernard. This is a whole community will be just in such shock, I imagine, today still, you know, trying to come to, even the people who escaped it, that sense of, you know, what could have been.
Well, you know, I suppose yesterday demonstrated just the very spirit that is in Chrysler. I mean, if you tried to put a plan in place, it couldn't have worked out, you know, the way it did. We had a local priest, Father John Duffy, there on the scene. He was saying his prayers. He said a really, really nice mass this morning. Myself and my family were at it. He's a great asset in our town. He prayed away there all day yesterday, all through the night, as he would.
And of course, as the word was getting out, people were coming to the scene, were worried about their family and friends.
Every time I checked my phone, I'd six written missed calls of people ringing saying my friends was around the shop, or had relatives working in the shop. Do you know, did you see them, or did this person get out, or, you know, what's happening, is there anybody dead, is there, you know, just pure, not panic, but just concern, you know, and I suppose worry, as you would when you're, you know, if you were 20 or 30 miles from the town and you had family or friends, you'd be trying to find out. I looked at a lot of people from Farrowfield trying to touch base and see what was happening, or was praying that nobody they knew was there, or, you know, were running around the building.
And do you have a sense now that you know, and I obviously we're not releasing names, or they won't be released for some time yet, but that you know the full extent of the tragedy there now, or are you still afraid that there may be people still in that, you know, in that rubble that haven't been found yet?
I understand. I was up there a while after Mass, and I understand they're fairly well through the rescue part of the minute there now.
Right. Okay. You know, Bernard, I'll let you go. Many, many thanks. I really appreciate you talking to us. And just to say to the community, it's extraordinary to hear how you all came together there yesterday and overnight. And I think everyone, the whole country's thoughts are with you. So thank you for that.
And just before I go, I want to obviously pass on my condolences to the families of those who were deceased, those who were injured, and look, our thoughts and prayers are with the entire community.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, okay. That's Bernard Doherty there. Many thanks, Bernard. Before we came on air, I spoke to Gerald Duffy. Gerald Duffy's of Muckish Development Group, a local community group there. And I began by asking him where he was when he heard what had happened.
Well, I was actually coming on my way from work when the news came through. So I made my way to Chrysler. Obviously, it was just a complete chaos. All a lot of people could do is just stand there and let the professionals do their work to retrieve the bodies. But it's just, everybody's shocked, numb.
I mean, it's obviously hard to put words on it, Gerald.
No, you can't.
Are you actually from Chrysler itself?
I'm from Chrysler, yeah. I would know most of the people that's been confirmed dead. So, you know, it's a small community. Everybody knows one another.
Oh, I mean, our condolences, Gerald. I should have said that at the off, because, as you say, it must be an extraordinary difficult day for you there.
It is. There was mass at 10 o'clock. The church was full, like, you know.
Yeah. And go back to yesterday then. You went straight to the scene, did you?
Yeah, well, we were at the scene, but probably about an hour after that happened, you know.
And at that stage, had the emergency services got there?
Well, they were there, yeah. The helicopters came in. There was at least three there at the end, you know. And as I say, everybody was just shocked. There's no words. You just can't put words to it. But was in front of us, you know.
And, like, as you say, we know that, and we've heard all morning now, that this is like the hub of the community. And for many, many miles around, this would be the main centre.
The main shop, post office, filling station, you know, I'll be in myself probably sometimes twice a day, you know, every morning go to work and on the way back. And, you know, it's just a very, very busy place.
And this would have been a very, very busy time as well.
Very busy time after school. You know, mothers picking up the children and calling them to the shop. And then there was pension day for a lot of the ones going to pick up their pension and benefits. And it's just... And it's always a busy shop, like, but Friday would be busier than most days, probably, you know.
Yeah, and then, of course, the word would be going out that this had happened, and I suppose people, you know, their children didn't come home to them. Like, how did the evening unfold as people realised, you know, that there were so many people in the rubble?
Well, obviously there were people named, but obviously nobody could confirm it, because then they had to check, you know, maybe they hadn't parked the car, maybe moved on somewhere else, but unfortunately all the names just coming out is they're confirmed casualties, and the community's just total shocked. I don't know, but like, we're a small community, and I suppose we'll gather around and the best we can.
And Gerald, you work with the Muckish Development Group.
I do, yeah. And we also do a magazine here too, the Chrysler View, you know, and we usually, that's about old stories and years gone by and for the future generation to look at. And I'll tell you, this is one that we didn't want to be putting into a book for future generations.
You mentioned there, you were at that mass this morning at 10 o'clock, Gerald.
Yeah.
I understand it was a very big gathering of the community there.
Yeah. Just packed out. I suppose people lighting candles and saying prayers. That's all we can do.
And I understand as well that, like, the community has really gathered round that the Wild Atlantic campsite there opposite the scene.
Yeah, they're making teas and sandwiches, and, you know, everybody's, the little coffee dock down the town's opened up, giving out teas, and, like, everybody's happy,
that's the Huckleberry coffee shop, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that's become a sort of a centre for people to go and talk and
yeah, and then the school's opened, and there's the health centre's open today as well. Doctors there, and so anybody wants help with the ground, and, you know, it's important that they do go with.
Are you there? Sorry, Gerald. Are you actually there at the scene at the moment?
Yeah.
And what is actually happening right now?
Well, what I've seen now, there come a few more ambulances in there for whatever reason, I don't know, but it's cordoned off, and only the fire brigade and stuff that's in there were not allowed in, it's cordoned off. But,
and last night, I know that when this happened and you know, everyone rushed to help and went to the scene, it was at great risk, like in terms of the people involved in that rescue effort.
Oh, definitely, like there's huge concrete slabs that, well, you see the photographs, they're just sitting up in the air, you know, so, and then there's someone that has collapsed, so they're working under dangerous, but, you know, they're getting through it now, I suppose, and I suppose the next few hours it'll tell what's left.
Is there many people around there now?
There's still a few, wouldn't be as many as last night, but, you know, everybody's standing around, there's still people, locals, and I suppose they're not there just to notice, they just want to be there to get maybe some comfort from, to be there, like the say a prayer.
Yeah, and I know, because we heard about the scenes overnight, really heartbreaking scenes where families were waiting for news.
Yeah, yeah. I just seen one member of family at the minute, her sister was killed, so it's
Gerald, it's so hard to get your head around this. It's so huge. So, you know, in any community, this would be huge, but in a small, small community, as you say, where everyone knows each other, so many people are related to each other.
That's right. Everybody knows one another, you know. And there's just no words. Like, it's next probably week is going to be tough. That's when the funeral starts. That would really sink.
Gerald, I'll let you go there. I really, really appreciate you talking to us today. I know it's a very, very difficult day for you there, and really, you know, our condolences here from everyone here.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerald. Take care of yourself. Bye. And that was Gerald Duffy there. We'll take a break now, but we'll have more coverage of that explosion after these.
Saturday with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Now I want to go back to Donegal and to local Fine Gael TD, Joe McHugh. Joe?
Hello, Katie.
Joe. Now I know you're based yourself in Carrigart. That's just 5 kilometres away from where this happened.
5 or 6 kilometres, Katie, and the whole Donegal community, and obviously more immediate in the Chrieslea area, but I think the wishes and sentiments coming from around the country and around the world is there is a solidarity with the families and the people who've lost their lives and with the families who've lost loved ones, and that solidarity has been coming very, very strongly since yesterday evening, but unfortunately it's not going to change. A lot of irreversible stuff has happened over the last couple of days, and I just want to pass my own sympathy on to everybody who has lost loved ones and people who have lost friends and lost neighbours, and just it's going to be a very, very difficult time.
Indeed, yeah. And you went to the scene yesterday when you heard the news?
Look, it's one of those things you do, I suppose, as somebody living locally and irrespective of the job anybody was doing, because I was no different to people, men and women, coming back from Dublin, who work in Dublin, and they were coming back on a Friday to face what they were facing, and everybody was there just trying to do something. And look, there's such a specialised crew there. There was such a well-coordinated, mission yesterday to try, living on hope that there could be, that lives, that there was still going to be somebody alive under the rubble, and with that hope, we had so many professionals and so many crews, emergency crews from the Gardaí and Donegal County Council, and then with all these different service providers from the north, that some of them who had never been to Chrieslea before, and they were there on standby, and everybody was doing what they were doing, and that was at a professional level, and then the big part was watching all the people at a local level that were rolling up their sleeves from making tea and just lifting blocks, and the hard thing was these people were, they knew people in there, the relations, the neighbours, and that was a really, really, really difficult thing to watch. But I think at the heart of everything yesterday and today, and it's still ongoing here, is there's so much dignity. There's so in the approach down to the machinists and those very, very heavy machinery working in very tight conditions, that they knew what was going to lay ahead of them and what was going to be ahead of them. But every movement and every block that was lifted, it was done in such a dignified way, and people were on standby. But I know this is not going to change things for people who've lost lives. This community it's rocked to the core, but there is a rallying here as well, Katie, and you know, even all the different ministers from different churches and reverends and local priest Father John Joe Duffy had a mass at 10 o'clock, and people know who was in that building. They know the connections, and they're going to be there for each other. And I know Minister Charlie McConlogue has been here today and yesterday, and obviously it's very important that government support is there. And my colleague Minister Frank Fagan has arrived up, so he's in with the HSE team at the moment. That support is going to be so important, and the principals in both primary and secondary schools that I've spoken to, that psychological support for young children and teenagers is so important, and it's really important that the doors of Creasley National School opens on Monday morning, because young people need peer-to-peer support as well, but the necessary support will be there, and it's going to be really, really important then ahead.
And I, as I say, you were there last night, and I know you're there now, are you, Joe?
Yeah, I'm down from the site and down at the health centre here, where Dr. Stewart is leading out a team to be available for people. And I know from this evening on, when people are identified and named, this is going to become a very difficult time. And I know that the support is going to be here. And you know, from all the services, the HSE to the Gardaí and right through to the council, it's been a really, really professional operation. But as I said earlier, at the heart of everything was dignity, because there were a lot of teenagers arriving at the yellow tape and their yellow cordons last night, and you could just see the Gardaí interacting. They were communicating, they were listening, they were helping, and they weren't, they certainly were there for the people, and they showed such a human approach to what was needed last night, and people needed that during a very, very difficult time.
Yeah, and we've heard stories of Gardaí on the scene there embracing, you know, people who are turning up there distressed. It's just difficult to say, you know, what can you say to people to give them comfort at such an extraordinarily devastating time?
No, I think you're right. And words is not going to change anything. But because this is such a united community, and it's a very strong community, people, you could just see people are there for each other, and I think in the days ahead, people will need that support, and they will need that solidarity, and they just need to be there for people. And as I say, words can get in the way at times, and may not be what people are looking for. But I get a sense that people just want to know that there's going to be people there around them. And I think they're very, very fortunate in this community and wider community, where people will come together. And I know the Donegal diaspora have been in touch with me from London and Philadelphia and all over the world and Australia. Like, they're coming together. They're not there physically, but they're doing the job that they need to do online. And that will continue.
Joe, I was talking to somebody in a local cafe there earlier before we came on air, and they were saying that their phone is just ringing with people offering donations, you know, not from the area, just looking up their number in the phone book and just wanting to give something and to, you know, show some kind of practical solidarity.
It's unbelievable. And you know, from teleporters being offered from Kelly Beggs, and even the American multinational, the CEO of one of the American multinationals contacted me, can they help? And everybody wants to help, and healthcare professionals and all that, they all wanted to do something. But yeah. I think we all know where the real help will be required in the days ahead, and that's just been there for people.
And that's just beginning, yeah. Well, Joe McHugh, many thanks for taking the time to talk to us this morning. And I want to go now to Phil Ní Hé, General Secretary of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation. Phil, Joe McHugh there mentioning the health workers involved in this, and we know a lot of your members would have been working last night when these casualties began arriving at Letterkenny.
Yes, Katie, and I suppose what they've said to me this morning is that they're devastated for their community. They live in their community, and obviously all of our condolences. Our president, Karen, she's a Donegal nurse herself, and devastated. I think what they're also saying is that the community spirit is just so obvious, just like Joe McHugh was saying there, and that all of the services just pulled together, everybody's volunteering. There were nurses on the site who were off duty. So I suppose, unfortunately, we see when tragedies and random tragedies like this happen that the health services pull together with all of the emergency services, and they're focused on doing the very best that they can, and from here on, getting supports for the bereaved and helping each other through this devastating time.
And we know that emergency plan was put in place, and that's locals, right, respected, yeah, that as well, and kept away from the emergency department there.
Yeah, I mean, there is a real rapid need for coordination and planning, and that's practiced, I suppose, within the HSE across all of the emergency services, from the Gardaí to the Fire Brigade, etc. So that worked well, is what we're being told. Cross-border as well, Athnagalvin were involved. And it's good to know that that works well. It's good to know that there's clear leadership, clear service provision, and focus then can be brought to dealing with the emergencies and the appropriate people dealing with the emergencies.
Yeah.
One of the things that our nurses are saying to us today is that it is going to be the next number of weeks that families will need a lot of support, a lot of bereavement, obviously, and they want to provide all of the services that they can, and I know from their perspective, they will also need the support themselves.
I was going to say, because of course the nurses are also part of this community, and they will be suffering loss today.
Nurses, of course, and all of the healthcare workforce, the ambulance personnel, all of the emergency services, the Gardaí, the fire services. So look, it's all one community when it comes to terrible tragedies like this, and I think our members were saying today, even hearing messages from President Michael D. Higgins, all of that is very important in times like this. So we have to make sure that anything they need from here on is provided.
Yeah, is there counselling in place, or will be put in place for your members?
It is. We have counselling ourselves. We're offering that to anybody who needs it, but the HSE also have those services.
Okay, Phil Ní Hé, I will leave you there. Many thanks for joining us with that. Now, earlier today, I spoke to local business owner Fintan Call, who knows the Apple Green in Creaslough and the family owners well.
My heart was out to them. I would know the Lafferty family, the Annette and Danny Martin, who run the business now, their father, Danny, a great friend of mine, who's retired now, and I can remember Danny's father, Pat Lafferty, and the Laffertys have been in business around Creaslough for, I would say, well over 100 years, and it's just devastating now to see what has happened. You know, it's so tragic.
And you heard about this shortly after it happened yesterday?
Oh, shortly after it happened, yeah, more or less just a few minutes after it happened, I heard the news. The whole community is numbed, you know, to say the least. And I would have known, like, tragically, you know, people who passed away, I would have known practically all of them personally, you know, known some of them for years. And
yeah, because I know, of course, all the names are kind of circulating locally there, that we obviously haven't been released officially yet. But as you say, they're mostly local people we're talking about.
They're mostly local people, yeah. And again, like local families, some of them that would go back for generations as well in the locality. Just people that were in the shop at the time, just doing their wee bit of shopping. And luckily, some people did escape without injury. Some had serious injury, you know, and sadly, some have passed away. And just something that people just can't get their heads around, you know.
And I understand that the like locals did manage, who like rushed to the scene after the blast, that they did manage to pull some people out of the
yes.
rubble.
The local men themselves were on the scene first and worked hard, and they worked right through the night. You know, they're still actually working there. You know, trying to do their best.
And at considerable risk to themselves, Fintan, because...
At considerable risk, and, like, knowing the people who were inside trapped, you know, like, knowing who were there and who they were looking for, you know, and it's just hard. It's heartbreaking. That's the only way you could describe it, you know, heartbreaking.
And I know there was a big gathering at that Mass for the community this morning.
Father John Joe Duffy, the local curate, had a special Mass on at 10 o'clock this morning, you know, for everybody, you know, the people who passed away and those injured and those who were helping and the Lafferty family, you know, and for everybody, because it affected everybody in the community. It's having a devastating effect on the whole area, you know, for miles around.
Well, have you been able to talk to many people, you know, since it happened? How are people coming together there?
People are just numbed, you know, and one person trying to help the other, you know, to do the best that they can. There's counselling being offered, you know, the Dunfanaghy Resource Office is there, you know, willing to help in any way that they can, you know.
Yeah, we want to put that message out there that there is a lot of support services.
But it affects the whole community, you know. For miles around, you know, because everybody in a tight-knit community, you know, and everybody is more or less sort of related to somebody else, you know, and everybody knows everybody, you know.
And I suppose I know as well, you'll be bracing yourselves now for the days ahead when...
This will be the tough part, you know. You know, people are numbed now, you know, but when the reality sinks in, you know, and people have to be laid to rest, you know, that is when it's going to be really hard, you know, and it's not going to be easy, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of and from what we're hearing, some young lives.
Some young lives, like there would range, you know, from school children to middle aged men, you know, and it just sort of covers the whole population, you know, and the whole area, you know.
Yeah.
Children, young people, middle-aged people, you know, nobody seems to have...
And so many families touched.
A lot of families, and an unbelievable amount of families, you know, between brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and, you know, there's hardly a person in the community that wouldn't be affected in some way or other, you know.
Yeah. Fintan, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it, and condolences from everyone here. It's just a horrific tragedy.
Oh, horrific. Yeah, horrific. And God help everyone.
And that was Fintan Cole. We'll have more after these.
Tweet at SaturdayRTE.
And you're welcome back. Now I want to go back to Donegal to John Hamish O'Farrey. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kitty, and it's not a good afternoon here in Donegal due to the tragedy that occurred yesterday in Chrysla.
Indeed. I should just to let people know, if they're not from there, John Hamish, of course, you are the local Sinn Féin councillor, so you'd be very, very familiar with this place and these people.
I'm very familiar with the people living in the area. They're a very knit, close community with the Gaelic football club and soccer clubs and the local schools there. Again, it's just been a huge tragedy, and I was in sight there myself, along with my colleague Piers Doherty, last night, for a number of hours, and it was unbelievable to see it visually, the extent of the explosion that occurred yesterday in Chrysler. And we're just learning today, you know, the number of casualties, number of dead. So far, 9 people have been confirmed, and we presume there could be more. Again, the building is very unstable, which is making it awkward for the emergency personnel to get access to locations within the building.
Yeah, we have to say huge credit goes to all of those, not just the local people who ran in there without really care for their own safety, but also all those emergency personnel who have been working all through the night and into today.
Yes, and there must be, you know, when you talk about the personnel that worked through the night and the local community and all the different emergency services now across border and the 6 counties assisting as well on the scene, it was great how it was all coordinated at a high and professional level. Again, the community, like, there's a black cloud over Chrysler today, and it will remain here for many days to come. And that we're away so many months from Christmas, a joyful time of the year, and there'll be many an empty chair in Chrysler come Christmas time, unfortunately, due to this tragic event.
Yeah, the phrase that I heard this morning, a tsunami of grief, it really even hardly touches what's happening there and you know, the sense that there must be around Chrysler now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You need to be there and see visually the grief that people have in the area and their loved ones and the concern for the loved ones. Again, that there's no indication of how many. I know there's 9 officially, but as I said, there could be more. But the parents and people waiting for news for their loved ones, it's just very, how would you say, affecting them hugely when there's no word. But we just have to wait and see, let the emergency services do their work, and it might take another day or two before finalising how many people died in this tragedy.
Indeed, indeed. Many thanks, John Hamish O'Farrey, there for bringing us that and taking the time to talk to us. And obviously, best of luck to our thoughts are with all of the people you will be talking to over the next hours and days and weeks. Okay, I want to go now to Marie Duffy. Marie, good afternoon.
Morning, how are you?
Now, I know you're local there.
Yep.
And you're also passionate about mental health, and you know, you this is that's that you're an advocate for mental health from that area. So I'm sure you are thinking about what's coming down the tracks for everyone there now.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose as you've heard earlier today, Chrysler is a very small, tight-knit community, and I suppose that's a cliche, but in this case, it's actually really true. And the mental health of the community is going to be tested over the next few weeks, months and years ahead, because something like this just devastates a community.
And you're already getting, people are getting in contact with you on social media from not just Chrysler or from not just Ireland, from globally.
Yeah, I suppose Chrysler is a very small town, but it has a lot of people connected to it. So, like myself, for example, I work away during the week, like many, many people in Chrysler and surrounding towns. So, as news was kind of spreading yesterday, people were contacting on social media and learning about it on the media. People in Australia, America, London, Scotland, I suppose it's hard being away from home when something like this happens. And obviously everyone's concerned about their friends, their families and their neighbours. And for something like this to happen in Chrysler, it's just absolutely devastating.
Yeah, because of course that's what we've got to remember, is that there is a big diaspora as well that will also be you know, today hearing this news from wherever they're waking up and wondering, you know, have people, have their family, have their friends been caught up in this?
Exactly. I suppose the thing about rural Ireland is there's so many people who have to leave to go to work. And Chrysler's just like any other town in Donegal, small community. Everybody knows everybody. I suppose neighbours look out for neighbours, and lots of people are related to each other and connected to other people in other communities. So although Chrysler's only a very, very small town, I suppose its connections are wide.
And it's right. I know we're talking to people, obviously, in Chrysler today, and we will be over the coming days and the coming weeks. But ultimately, the media will move on. But Chrysler will have to deal with this in their own time.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose when something like this happens, a small town thrown into the spotlight for a few days, but something like this devastates communities for years and years. And I just hope, I know there's great work being done by the local services to provide counselling and support to young people and community, but I just hope that people realise that it's not just in the weeks ahead that people are going to need support, and for anyone in the community to realise that the reality of this may not hit for a while, and you may not need support right now, but you may need it in the future, and just to reach out for it.
Okay, okay. We put that message out there today. Marie Duffy, many thanks for that, and take care. Now, throughout this morning and afternoon, political leaders have been expressing their condolences to all affected by the tragedy in Chrysler. A statement has come in the last few minutes from Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. I'll just give you a sense of what he's saying. He says, on Friday, the nation's collective heart stopped when the news broke. This unthinkable tragedy happened in a community which we'll all be familiar with, to families who were going about their daily lives like we do. This freak accident has left so many empty chairs at dinner tables, it is just too hard to fathom. Our thoughts and prayers are with those families who have lost loved ones, those recovering in hospital, the local community and our emergency service personnel. That's a statement that just came in the last few minutes from Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. And now in the last few minutes of our programme, I want to go back to Donegal and to Damien O'Donnell. Damien, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Damien, you're a reporter with Radio na Gaeltachta there. And has there been any updates since we have been on air?
Not necessarily regarding the fatalities. All we do know now is that there will be a press conference at Milford Garda Station, and that has been confirmed for 2:30 p.m. This afternoon. Therefore, we expect possibly more information from the Gardaí and the emergency services, that they expect to have a co-press conference there in the next probably 40 minutes or so for the press. And I'm sure that more information will come from that. But as you've stated on your show throughout the past hour or so, that 9 people are confirmed to have died. But we believe that there are still more people trapped within the building.
And in terms of the casualties that are being treated in hospital now, have we any more information about that, Damien?
There has been no more information given, only that 8 casualties were brought to hospital, and 1 was brought to Dublin to receive treatment late last night. So therefore 8 in total, we've been told by the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital, Shane Murphy. He gave the information that it was 8 that were transferred to hospital, and there has been no further information given since then of their state of health at the moment. But as we're all saying, we just have to wait and pray and hope that whatever news is to come can be in some way positive. But unfortunately, what we're hearing within the building itself, it's not going to be very positive. And as we stated, we have 9 people confirmed so far, and more are expected as the day unfolds and as more rubble is removed from the building.
Okay, Damien O'Donnell, we'll leave that there. And of course, there will be further updates from Donegal throughout the day and following that press conference, where no doubt there will be more news available to us. But that's all we have time for here today. Sean Marren was our broadcast coordinator. Research was by Andrew Fleming. Sheila Neveal was on sound, and the programme was produced by Regina Henley. Stay tuned now for the documentary on One.